Third hour on this Monday afternoon. This time on Mondays, we head east. We go to Knoxville. He's at Vince Sports on Twitter. Hit follow. He's a good follow. He's Vince Ferrara. WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He's on the line with us. Vinny, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm good. Sun's out. Sun was out for pretty much all weekend, so thankful for that. Everything else is gravy, so had a good weekend. Hope you guys did too.
Maddox had a Saturday night basketball game, and then a bunch of the family were all at his game, and then we all went out to dinner afterwards, and some of the folks at the table live in Knoxville, and let's just say that they may have heard your halftime report at the dinner table on Saturday night. So we had a good laugh at that.
Yeah.
Not to laugh at your expense, but I mean, it was, right. Wow. That was an experience, huh?
It was. You know, I was stunned that my contact didn't pop out. Sometimes just when, you know, when I'm tired and have heavy eyelids, my contact will slide back and I just have to slide it back. But I took a shot to the head and, it stayed right there in place. And it was just more stunning than anything else. And, you know, it was cool to see people come and check on me right away, including a few of the players. And then, you know, the coolest part about the whole deal was how concerned Santiago Vescovi, Tennessee's point guard, was for, for me after the game. He was a player of the game. He went and talked on the Vol Network and was with those guys and was asking the crew, you know, how's Vince doing? I feel really bad because it was his behind-the-back pass that split two teammates because it split the two of them and went bouncing and hit me there while I was looking down reading my stats. And then after all the post-game interviews, he sought me out and came and gave me a hug and said he felt so bad and kind of explained what happened. So it ended up being cool and kind of showed what his character is all about after, you know, playing a great game against Arkansas Tuesday and still being worried about, you know, some media guy sitting courtside got hit in the head. Then, you know, not a lot of athletes would probably do that, be that concerned. So that was cool to kind of reveal what he's all about. So he handled that great, and it ended up being pretty funny overall.
So they beat up on Arkansas on Tuesday. They had a crazy game against South Carolina in Knoxville earlier in the year where they came away with a one-point victory. Same played out on Saturday in Columbia. Another crazy game. Tennessee's up, and they lose the lead, and they get a tough call late in the game and fall by a bucket.
Yeah, that Arkansas game was probably their most complete game in SEC play. And Arkansas just looked really disjointed. They didn't have Joe, one of their better players. He's been out for a while, and they've kind of really hit the skids ever since. And so Tennessee played really well there. But you need to stack up wins. This team cannot afford to go one up, one down. They're not going anywhere if that continues. And now they're going to get into the toughest stretch of their schedule upcoming. And South Carolina was another game where it's not the best team in the league, but they're within reach. They would have been a quad one win for them because South Carolina was, since it's a road game, it goes 1 through 75 in the net rankings for road games. So that would have counted as a quad one win. And those have been hard to come by for Tennessee after losing that game. Tennessee's now 2-7 in the quadrant one games, which is the most deemed the most difficult games. But, you know, it's kind of getting to the point where if you're just taking L's, it doesn't matter at this point. It's kind of getting away from them a little bit. But I thought that charge call was weak, to be honest with you. I thought the defender was not there, and he was still moving. He embellished it, and some people said, oh, he lowered your focus and lowered his shoulder. It wasn't an unnatural post move to me. Just the last couple of Tennessee games, that Arkansas game included, just tons and tons of foul calls There's games earlier in the year where they'd let them play, and now it seems like everyone's tightening it up and calling things a little bit lighter. They're not calling the flops on in the post on those charge calls, and so there's everybody's doing it more. And free throws have been a big issue in all of Tennessee's games, wins and losses. And look, that's a big factor in that game. Tennessee missed 11 free throws. South Carolina missed a bunch too, but missed free throws and you turn the ball over, and then you have bad possessions at the end where Jordan Bowden, it kept the ball away from Vescovi, and so Rick Barnes wanted Bowden just to make a play on his own. Instead, he kind of forced it to Vescovi, and then Vescovi had to split defenders and turned it over, and that led to a break and South Carolina going back to the line. So, just not good enough execution at the end on the road. And, they just don't have much of a margin of error with this year's group with the collection of guys that they've got.
What do they look – I mean, obviously they're more than just a bubble team. I mean, what's realistic about where this team ends up, in your opinion?
I mean, the only thing, Darren, would be just an unbelievable win out, maybe one loss, but still have some stuff to do in the SEC tournament. But that's the only way to get there, I think, at this point, because their net ranking is not great. It's like in the 60s. And, there's teams that were in the 30s last year from Power 5 conferences like NC State and a couple of other ones that finished with net rankings in the 30s and didn't even make the NIT. So there's no guarantee that you get to a certain number in the net rankings and you're getting in the NCAA tournament. It just depends on the bubble spots available after all the conference tournaments. So, and this team has not shown any ability to me to put together a long run of wins. It would just have to be completely out of character and it all clicks and their opponents help them and things like that. But you got Auburn twice, you got Florida, you got a second game with Kentucky, all that after Vandy and Arkansas. So, I mean, just really the top of the conference still to come. And I think they still have work to do just to make the NIT, to be honest with you. And just it's going to be tough, but it doesn't look good right now at all for the postseason.
All right, before we come to the break and come back with a lot more for people who didn't hear last week when we talked about it and weren't sure exactly what we were talking about at the beginning with Vince, this was the game Tuesday night.
This is the halftime report.
This is the halftime report. Tuesday night in Knoxville, Tennessee and Arkansas, our own Vince Ferrara on the mic.
4 of 9 from beyond the three-point line at 44% and 14 of 18 from the free throw line at 78%.
Oh.
Apologize on that as I got hit by a basketball during my halftime stats right in the face. So 18 first half rebounds
in the face
for the Volunteers.
In the face.
We gave you so many props, Vince, because that is
5.2 seconds.
We timed you. 5.2 seconds.
The eyes had to be watering, contact loss or not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my eye was red pretty much until the next day, yeah.
That is a great recovery.
It's good. Vince, you're a pro.
Why'd you turn your mic off? Well, we would have liked to have heard you oh, man. Okay. Woo, sorry about that, but you turned your mic off.
I turned my mic off. No, my headsets fell off.
Oh, okay. Because it went like silent. It went totally silent.
That's what it was.
Okay.
It knocked my headsets off, so I had to put those back on, and then I was good to go. So they didn't turn my mic off. I'm actually surprised. 5 seconds of dead air in radio, how it goes, and even on the networks, like, people panic, and I'm surprised they didn't just go to a commercial break, thinking there's some sort of technical issue, but they let me sort it out. And the host in the studio, John Wilkerson, who's my partner for Tennessee baseball, he always has these really you know, silly and funny tosses to me, giving me different titles and things like that. So I'm sure he's having a field day for my next toss to halftime stats tomorrow night. So who knows what kind of craziness he'll come up with. But yeah, that was, you know, I still could see, my contact was there, so kept going, you know.
Yeah, I was
just to get the complete report. You know, they didn't have to go to the bullpen. The complete report, yeah. You got the CR as opposed to the, you know, 6 1/3.
We're glad you're okay, but I was a bit concerned when you said welcome back to Fayetteville. So that was the only part that scared me a little bit, that maybe you were still – maybe you should have been put in protocol. I'm not sure. All right, we will come back. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side. As you can tell, he is past protocol. He is good to go today with us. We'll talk more Vols with him on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
With us. My headset had a problem there. WNML in Knoxville talking University of Tennessee. So Vince, looking up next, you got a matchup between Tennessee and Vanderbilt, a rematch. Tennessee ran away with the game early against Vanderbilt at Memorial Gym. Vanderbilt seems to be playing better, although they did not play well at all at Gainesville on Saturday night. Florida played great. I am very curious to see if Vanderbilt can play more competitively in this game against Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that worked really well for Tennessee in that first meeting was Tennessee pressuring three-quarter court in sort of a 1-2-2 type of zone look, defensive look. And that's the most we've seen Tennessee do that in any game. So how much does Tennessee use that in the game, and how does Vanderbilt handle that differently this time around? I think that'll be a big part of the game, because Tennessee was able to create a lot of easy baskets, get a lot in transition, and when they can do that, it helps them a lot, because there's times where Tennessee really struggles. Things are really hard for them in the half court because they don't have as many offensive options and enough guys that can create their own shot and just score in any situation. So I think that'll be a big part in the game. You're right, Vanderbilt's playing, was playing better until the Florida game than they were before. So we'll see. They're, you know, I would expect them to be motivated, and, you know, it's up and down on Tennessee. Typically they play well at home, though. Even if they don't play, if they don't win, since they had that long winning streak coming into the season, typically they play better at home. But, again, it's a low margin of error for Tennessee, so I wouldn't be shocked one way or the other in what happened.
Give us a quick note on the Tennessee opening weekend on the baseball diamond. I know you follow them closely. We've talked somewhat here about Vanderbilt. They had an interesting weekend out in Arizona. They lose 2 of 3. They had all three games. They were in the lead in the two games that they lost. The best closer in the country last year blows the saves, which is very unusual. Didn't get a lot of help defensively, but Tennessee dominated their series, I know.
They did, and actually I did watch some of Vanderbilt's opening series, and that first game on the MLB Network. I love that. Willie, I don't know if you caught much of it, but that speed cam that they had over the dugout, I thought was absolutely awesome from the MLB Network. It gave you a feel with a camera like you were on the field, and it can really change the angles of how you see plays very different and pretty up close. I thought that was a cool wrinkle to the MLB Network's coverage, but Tennessee didn't have the strongest of competition in Western Illinois, but Tennessee pitched really well. And that is something that has been, it's the strength of the team. And they didn't give up a run until midway through the third game. They won Friday 3-0. They won Saturday 19-0. And then they won yesterday 23-4. So
Western Illinois, they ran out of pitching, I guess, there.
Yeah, and guys were taking him. There were multiple guys who had to take it for the team and just, you know, give up 13 batters in an inning, 7 runs. It was just, it got out of hand. Tennessee did it with a lot of different guys, and that's one of the things about this year's team that's a little bit different is they have more options this year, not only in the field with competition and throughout the outfield and several infield positions, including first, where they could play 5 guys and still feel really good. And then they have a catching platoon, which they did a year ago. And then their pitching, even though they lost some quality arms like Andrew Schultz and Garrett Stallings, they're not as experienced overall. They've got Garrett Crochet, who didn't pitch this weekend with some soreness, and they're being very careful with him. They don't think it's anything long-term. They're just being very careful with him. He's going to be one of the top picks in the MLB draft, especially if he has a good year this year. He's throwing up around 100. I mean, with nasty breaking stuff, too. So he is, and is a left-hander, tall left-hander. So they've got a couple of JUCOs. They've got talented freshmen. Everybody they put out there that had some promise that the coaching staff felt like could really contribute did well. Guys on the field, a couple of two-way players that were first-time guys that performed well. So overall, yes, it wasn't great competition, but you know, last year and this year, they took care of their business in pre-conference. They got to the NCAA tournament doing it last year, undefeated in pre-conference, and now doing it now this year. They've outscored in February games the last 2 years under Tony Vitello. They've outscored their opponents 104-9 in going 12-0 in February games. So, you know, some teams lose to lesser competition early in the year. Tennessee has been pretty good, and they have Charlotte on Tuesday before going to a really good tournament in Texas where they'll be facing Texas Tech, Stanford, and Houston. So we'll get a better read on them next weekend.
Vince Ferrara is with us, the sports animal WNML in Knoxville. I want to go back to basketball for a second because I was listening to you and Darren and Willie talk earlier about the Vols hoops, and I pulled up the stats. This is year 5, obviously, for Rick Barnes as the head coach, and if things stay how they are and they miss the tournament, that's only 2 tournament appearances in his 5 years. You're around this team all the time, so what is your evaluation of the Rick Barnes era? I know he had to, you know, I know he had to rebuild. He had a lot of things that he had to deal with, but has it worked the way that everybody thought it would?
Yeah, because the 2 years were so high, Chase. I think you got to give him credit. Now, ultimately, people will judge on the success in the tournament, but when you can peak like they did in those 2 years, then I think that buys you time on the other end. You know, he gets paid a lot, and fans already are pointing to that and don't want to hear about rebuild or reasons or injuries and all that kind of stuff. Some fans just absolutely, you make this amount of money, I don't care, you need to deliver. And, you know, that's just not realistic. And I think next year is where you can judge this coaching staff, I think, a little bit more difficult because they've got 3 high-level players that are coming in. There, a lot of the guys, if they do come back on this year's team that are young, then you can get them more experience and better based on the track record that the coaching staff has of developing players. Now you have a roster to work with where you can compete, not only get in the tournament, but do some damage there and make up for not doing it the last 2 years when they've been up. So, you know, I think you get to, this coaching staff gets a pass for this year because they've had so much go against them. And, you know, the next year is when they get some help and something to work with.
Vince, real quick before we let you go, I know obviously this is the first year for Kelly Harper at the helm for the Lady Vols, but they've dropped 4 straight in the SEC. What's going on with the ladies right now?
Well, you know, it was promising to start midway through SEC play, They had 7 wins. They were 7-1. They had already, midway through conference play, had already reached their entire SEC win total from a season ago, where they were 7-9 in SEC play. So, and they were on track to do much better. But what happened is they hit the tough part of their schedule. They beat a lot of teams at the in the middle and the bottom of the conference. Then the tough part of their schedule hit, and they haven't been able to beat any of those teams. They had a shot against A&M at home yesterday, and just too many ill-advised plays down the stretch, jacking up threes when you've got critical players for Texas A&M with 4 fouls. Instead of going after them and trying to get those players fouled out, they're jacking up threes. This team has been turnover-plagued all year. You know, it's still, I think she's improved them. Individual players have improved, but there's just still a lot of the bad habits and lack of poise in certain situations late in games, to where hard to flush some of those things out. The good news for them is after their next game with Arkansas, the rest of the schedule lightens up again to some of the bottom teams in the league. So they can maybe get a few more wins and then have that improvement over a year ago and then feel better about themselves going into the conference tournament. You know, they were a 10 seed in the projections by Charlie Cream going into yesterday's game, and then they lost. So I don't think this team can lose to bad teams down the stretch and then just assume because of their name that they're getting in the NCAA tournament, because their ranking, their RPI isn't that great either. So if they can just beat the weaker teams coming up on the schedule, they'll be fine. But I think it's mainly a product of the schedule more than anything else.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Appreciate the props on the halftime stats, and glad you guys got a little bit of entertainment and laughs out of it, but I appreciate it.
We're glad you're okay. Nice way to be a pro. Good job.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Man. Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter. Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. We talk to him every week at this time. We're going to have to move Jimmy Dykes to about 15 minutes from now. He's supposed to start the fourth and final hour. Practice has moved, so he's gonna join us at about 12:45. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.